This week, we'll discuss Social Security's impact at the local level with National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare President and CEO Max Richman. We'll also be joined by Pennsylvania AFL-CIO President Rick Bloomingdale and AFGE Member Benefits Coordinator Mark Williams. But first, we've been joined by First Command Financial Services District Advisor Bob Hill. Bob, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure.
Bob, as you know, sequestration and furloughs have significantly impacted federal employees. What are your clients saying about the situation, and how are they handling the adversity?
Well, Jason, no doubt about it, they're very concerned. And I'll give you an example that of a federal employee we recently worked with and how we were able to help them. They were very concerned about the furloughs. About 4 months ago, I met with Ed. Now, he's a federal employee, a bachelor in his mid-30s, is GS-14, and he has a great job at the Pentagon. Now, he's been in federal service for about 5 years. Ed was very concerned about the upcoming furloughs and wasn't sure if he would really be able to make it financially. So we sat down together and reviewed his situation. The first thing that we did was to review his monthly expenses. Ed doesn't keep a budget, so we had to do some detective work and go through his bank statements, his credit card statements, and determine how much he was spending each month on various items to include rent, utilities, food, and entertainment. And this became the basis for his budget. And I would recommend to any federal employee that they take these steps, even if they don't have a defined budget, that they really take time to see how they're spending their money on a monthly basis. When we reviewed his expenditures, we determined that he was spending quite a bit of money every month eating out and taking part in entertainment such as movies. So Ed agreed that he was able to cut back on some of those expenditures, and we redirected the money that he was willing to give up from eating out and entertainment into his emergency savings. So that was the first step that we took with the budget and redirecting those dollars. We then decided to look at how much he's withholding in his taxes. And Ed told me that on an annual basis, he was getting back from the government about $2,000 in an income tax refund. So we went to the IRS website, www.irs.gov, and used the calculator that's available to determine his withholdings. And we were able to adjust his withholdings, reducing his monthly withholdings by about $100. Which then again went into his long-term savings in his for emergencies. So this was the second step that we took. Ed was confident about that, and he came back. He was able to implement those strategies.
You mentioned that Ed was a GS-14 who was working at the Pentagon, and when you mapped out this plan for him, did you do it in a way that was carefully considered cuts in terms of targeted certain aspects of his life? I know you mentioned the movies and the eating out, but when you develop the plan, are you able to still suggest to your clients that they save for retirement, save for emergency funds, things like that?
That's exactly so important because, first of all, the person has to commit that they're willing to do this. There has to be buy-in by the individual and commit themselves to the fact that they're going to cut back on their expenses. At the same time, we want to make sure that they're doing the things that are necessary to plan for retirement. Now, Ed came back last week to the office, and he's still concerned not so much about his cash flow now and his ability to make ends meet, but he's really concerned about the future, all the what-ifs. And because he's a DOD employee, he's concerned about what furloughs may take place next fiscal year. Now, you and I know that we can't plan for the everything. We have to focus on what we have control over. But one of those areas that we did look at was his TSP contribution. What we did then was to review it, and he's putting in 9% of his salary into TSP. Now, as a FERS, we know that he wants to contribute to at least 5% on a biweekly basis so that he can get 5% of matching money from the government. We don't want him to lose that free money. But at the same time, Ed made a decision to reduce his contribution from 9% to 5%, and he'll do that for the next 90 days and redirect those dollars into savings.
Bob, what would you say to a federal employee who maybe wasn't at Ed's level of a GS-14, but perhaps a GS-5, a GS-7, a GS-9, a wage grade employee, because as we know, many, many of the federal employees who are facing furloughs these days are at that level of income.
I think they have to have an honest assessment of where they stand, Jason. Again, going back to how they're spending their money, too many people don't know how they spend money. They have a hole in their pocket, if you will. And so that's the first step that anyone has to take. In addition, then they have to ask themselves, what are ways to cut back? Is there an opportunity to go to a place where, to move to an apartment, for example, that has lower rent? Maybe cutting back on cable or internet. Those types of common sense ways of cutting back, I think, can make a difference.
So you're saying to approach it with targeted cuts, but also being mindful of the future and everything that's coming down the road, known and unknown.
That's exactly right, because I heard of a federal employee who, when furloughs were first announced, decided that she wanted to quit paying into her FEGLI. And so she would give up her insurance. Well, that would not have been a smart move because, again, what if something happened to her? For her family would be left without any money. So, again, these cuts have to be smart, taking into account the future and making sure that we're planning for the future.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're speaking with Bob Hill, District Advisor for First Command Financial Services. Bob, can you take me inside a conversation with a client who works for the federal government that you might have had, someone who knows really what's going on in federal service, who serves the American people, but is also faced with a number of increasing challenges? We've obviously talked about furloughs and sequestration, but federal employees are also under a current 3-year pay freeze, and every year their federal employees' health benefits plan premiums rise.
I think for all those reasons, Jason, it puts a more of an exclamation point on the need to plan, because you're exactly right. A 3-year pay freeze, who knows, we may have a fourth, I don't know. But the fact is that nothing else that we do in our lives has gone down in price. So I think it's just so important for all federal employees, all Americans for that matter, to really plan ahead and to take those things into account. You mentioned FEHB, which later this year will have the open season. That's a great opportunity for federal employees to review the health care plan that they're in. Certainly keep a health care plan, but determine if, in fact, that's still the right one for them. According to OPM, 80% of all federal employees just go from year to year to year with the same health care plan. So has there been a change in your life? Perhaps a child leaving the house, perhaps a birth of a child, or your own health situation changing? Those are reasons to sit down and review your insurance options to determine if you still have the right FEHB plan and perhaps reducing your overall insurance premium.
Bob, speaking of options, one option that is now available for federal employees is the Roth Thrift Savings Plan. Tell me about that.
Well, as you know, Jason, with the traditional TSP, you're allowed to contribute money into your account before paying taxes. In other words, it's pre-tax income, which means then that when you take the money out, typically at age 59 and a half and older, you'll pay income tax at that time on the money that you take out. The TSP Roth option, which was introduced to federal employees last year, is a way for you to pay taxes now on the money, contribute it then into your TSP account, and when you take the money out of that account, again, typically at age 59 and a half and older, you won't pay any income tax on that. And that's an exciting option and opportunity for federal employees, Jason, because no one can accurately predict what our tax rates are going to be 5, 10, 20 years from now when we are trying to take money out of our TSP account.
What are some benefits and drawbacks associated with opting for the Roth?
Well, I think when we sit down with our clients, we are really looking at three different groups of individuals who potentially could benefit from utilizing the TSP Roth. The first group are younger federal employees who aren't so concerned now about how much income tax they pay compared to how concerned they are about planning for the future and putting money aside into wealth accumulation, in other words, growing their TSP account. That's the first group that I think is very interested in TSP Roth. The second group of individuals are couples who really want to develop a tax diversification strategy. In other words, having some of their money in accounts like mutual funds, where every year they potentially pay capital gains tax. Having a second bucket of money that's tax deferred that they'll pay taxes on when they take the money out. And again, traditional TSP, 401ks, 403bs, and traditional IRAs are ways to do that. And then to have a third part of that tax strategy being the TSP Roth, because again, they'll be able to put money into the account and never pay taxes on it again. So the younger Feds, people who want to have a tax diversification strategy, are two of the groups that we talk with regarding TSP Roth. The third group, of course, being our military professionals, especially those who are being stationed overseas in combat zones. And these individuals who are serving the nation have an opportunity when they're in a combat zone to have income tax-free money. So the opportunity to put money that's not taxed into an account that will never get taxed again is an incredible opportunity. Of course, these folks deserve that opportunity.
Bob, are you finding that your clients, the federal employees who come and seek your advice and your counsel, are aware of these options associated with the Roth?
I think that that's been very surprising to me, frankly, that most federal employees either haven't heard about the TSP Roth or really don't understand how it works. And so when we sit down with them, that's the first thing is education. And I would recommend to all your listeners that they take time to learn more about that option. In addition, then many folks, I think that they do not qualify for the TSP Roth because they don't qualify for a Roth IRA. There are income limits. But with the TSP Roth, every federal employee can contribute to it. So that's a difference and an important difference.
Bob, where would you direct our listeners to go if they would like to learn more about the Roth TSP and how they can contribute if they so desire?
I recommend that they go to www.tsp.gov. It's a great website, a lot of information there that will, I think, answer a lot of their questions, not only about their investment options, but also the investment funds that are available to them. And there's narrative there about which funds may be appropriate given their age, time frame for investing, and the purpose of the investment. So I'd recommend that.
Bob, as we close out here today, what do you say to those listening today that have an interest in this, want to make a change, want to improve their financial situation, or even just fine-tune their current plan, but don't feel as though they're qualified to make investment decisions or don't feel like their stock pickers or anything like that? What advice would you give to them?
We've always recommended a common sense approach to financial planning. Pay yourself first, live on less than you earn, and really plan for the long term. That's been, I think, the hallmark of our company. And I would recommend to anyone, whether they work with us or another firm, that they sit down with a professional. Because back to Ed for a minute, he's emotionally attached to his money. A financial advisor is a third party, if you will, that we're an outsider looking in, and we can give you objective opinions as to how you can best utilize the dollars that you have now or in the future. So I recommend working with a professional. It really will pay off.
So it sounds like you're saying it's less about making the right stock investment or choosing the right bond fund as opposed to simply making good, sound financial decisions and sticking with it over the long term?
That's exactly right, Jason, because again, TSP is a great example. Every 2 weeks, you're putting money into that account. And the idea is you'll continue to do that as long as you're with the federal service. You have to do that. You have to think long term.
Bob Hill, District Advisor for First Command Financial Services. Bob, great to have you in the studio today. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure, Jason.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll discuss Social Security's impact at the local level with National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare President and CEO Max Richman.